She's our head of prophetic. She's very prophetic. She sees. She sends prophetic words over the computer. So if you're... Yeah, not about the computer. So if you're looking this morning to hear from God, here it comes.
Oh, the pressure, the pressure. I have a sermon prepared and everything. I don't know what's going to happen, though. I don't know how it's going to flow out today. I'm sort of sitting at the back of us telling Lisa, I don't know what's going to happen. I think this is what I'm going to preach on, and I think this is what I'm going to do. So we'll see. So come along on a journey with me and basically God. Okay. We're going to pray. Oh, shoot. Okay, yeah. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to pour out your love on us right now in Jesus' name. Father God, let your glory come. Let it fall on this place. Let your word be spoken and let it cut through with truth. I don't want to preach, God. I want you to preach. So speak to the people here today in Jesus' name. Praise God. Oh, okay. Oh, I knew this was going to happen. Okay. I felt him in the car coming. I was sitting next to Megan like, I think I feel the Holy Spirit on me. Okay, here we go. I don't know if you don't know me, I get really goofy sometimes, and I don't apologize because I really like it. It feels really awesome. Yeah, okay. So we are going to talk about God's promises today. Yeah, okay. And okay, so oh, you don't know what you're doing. Okay, so how many people have had a promise from God? I'd like to see hands. Okay. How many people have seen fulfillment of the promise? How many people have not seen fulfillment of a promise? Oh, good. We got a good mix. Today we're going to talk about God's promises, what he has for us. And basically, I'm going to use three examples of three individuals you may know. From the book of Genesis, we're going to do Noah, talk about him for a bit. Also from the book of Genesis, Joseph. And then from a book yet unwritten but very good is the book of Carrie. And I'm going to give an example of myself. And that's the easiest one to give, I think, because I want to give you part of my testimony. So I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, the two, Noah and Joseph. But if you want to read them yourselves, I'm assuming you all kind of know them anyways, but Genesis chapter 6, you can find Noah, and Genesis 37, you can find Joseph. So we're going to look at these three people, these three wonderful people, and we're going to find out what tips we can use to hold on to the promises that God has in store for us. Because I have also experienced, I have promises that have been fulfilled, and I've had many promises that have yet to be fulfilled. Many, many, and many. Some I've been waiting for couple years. My longest one is 25 years, I think. So hold on. I still believe, too, that it's coming. Yeah, I have faith. Okay. So let's start off with Noah. I'm going to give you a brief overview of Noah. So a long time ago, in a desert far, far away, there lived a man named Noah. And he lived there with his family. And during the time of Noah, the earth was filled with lots of evil and corrupt men. So evil, in fact, that God decided that he was going to destroy the whole thing. And he came to Noah and he said, I'm going to destroy the earth with a big flood. And I'm going to save you and your family and a portion of the animal population so you can reproduce after the flood. But you have to build an ark. And once you're on that ark, there will be rains for 40 days and 40 nights. The whole earth will flood. Everything will die. And then you will be set free. And you will be free to go on your way and repopulate the earth. So, that's the main story. Okay? It does conclude happily, if some of you don't know the story, and that in the end, Noah is released, and then God sets in place a rainbow in the sky as a covenant for Noah and all creation after him. So it's not just Noah's promise anymore, it's our promise that he will never flood the earth again. What can we learn from Noah? The first thing we can do is to know that if God sends you a promise, which in this case was to save his family from death and destruction, you first have to believe in what God is saying. Imagine Noah there living in the desert. If he ever did see rain, it was very minimal. And having God tell him, I'm going to, you know, flood the world with so much rain that it will destroy everything. Like, he can't hardly even fathom that. And then I just realized this yesterday. He built a boat in the middle of the desert. How ridiculous. He's like in the sand. You probably look miles each way and not see any water. And he's building a boat. Boy, like, that takes a lot of belief. I was trying to think of like an example of what we could, you know, use for today. And I'm not saying that there's aliens. Okay. But can you imagine if God said, you know, I'm going to send an alien invasion and you have to build a big UFO right here in the middle of, at the top of the CN Tower or something like that. It would be that ridiculous. And, you know, and he said, sure, God, I'll build a boat. He doesn't need a boat. He never even probably fished. I don't know much about his personal life, but, you know, he doesn't need a boat that big. Now, that's a big boat. And then to also believe that God was going to provide him with a whole bunch of animals. And I really wonder, did the animals eat each other on the boat? Yeah, see, amen over here, yeah. You know, he had to have a lot of belief in what God was saying, because it doesn't make sense. The next thing that we notice from Noah is that he got help. It says in the Bible that he enlisted the help of his three sons. And I can't remember all their names right now, but you can look it up. Shechem or something, it doesn't matter. He had sons, and he enlisted their help with them. When God sends you a promise, you need to get help. Don't try to carry it all by yourself. It's very tiring. You need the support of, you know, friends and family. I suggest, you know, trying to get somebody who's really close with you, who will actually take time and pray with you, and, you know, you can pray over it together, or you'll know that maybe they're praying it on their own time as well. But you need to have that support, because when you're out there and just keep trying and trying and trying to get this promise fulfilled by yourself, it gets just so tiring and draining. It's not a good idea. There's a reason that God made families, and that's so we can support one another. And if you're wondering what a family is, it doesn't mean necessarily just your biological family. It's everybody here that's sitting around you. So find people. Our pastor, he's our big daddy right at the front here. He's giving everybody a high thumbs up. And you know, if all else failed, if you don't like anybody else in the church, come and pray with Jay. You know that he will pray with you. And he's going to be your family. So you can get support. And another thing that God always does too is he brings encouragement along the way for the fulfillment of the promise that will come. And we see this in the rainbow. Now, ever since that day, that rainbow after every rain, whether you maybe can see it or not, whether it's clouded over, I'm sure there's a rainbow somewhere. And God uses that to remind us that he will never flood the earth again in that way. And as of today, we can see that it's true. Because we're not in a flood. He did it. And we have to, I want us to, next time too that we see the rainbow, to not just remember that that's the fulfillment of that promise, but it's a fulfillment of all promises. It's that current reminder that God is there and he wants to give you the things that he said he would give. So use that. Remember it. I also want to draw your attention to the fact that God did not need Noah to build an ark to rescue him. Remember, the promise for Noah was that his family would be rescued from death, right, from the floods. God didn't need Noah to build the ark. He didn't. He could have elevated Noah way up in the sky. He could have taken him up into heaven. He could have made them really good swimmers. And they could have swam for 40 days and 40 nights. They could have done it, you know. They could snorkel. Like, there's so many options. You know, why didn't he put him in a whale? I never thought of that. You know, he could have went in a whale. Joni lived in a whale, you know, or a big fish. There are so many options that he could have done, but instead, he asked Noah to build an ark. Why? God likes to make us part of the solution. Why not? He wants us to come alongside of him. Why would he create us? He wants to be with us. He likes having us around. We're good in his eyes. So, you know, if he wants us to be part of him, he doesn't just want to dictate what's going to happen. He wants to go along with us in this journey. So what can we learn from Noah for our promises? We learn that we have to believe first in what God is saying. You have to believe it. He wants to make us part of the solution because he doesn't need us, but he wants us. And that's so much better. I don't want to be needed. I want to be wanted. He brings encouragement along the way. We learn that as well. We're going to talk a little bit now about Joseph. Joseph was the youngest son of Israel, who's formerly known as Jacob. You guys probably know him best as that. And he was also the most loved son of Jacob. And that didn't sit very well with his brothers. And, you know, I can kind of understand. You know, if my dad really loved my brother and a lot more than me, it would make me feel not so great. But anyway, so these brothers really hated him. It actually says in the Bible that they hated him. And this next thing didn't really help because God sent him a couple of dreams. And they were from God. And after Joseph interpreted them, he found out the meaning to be that eventually Joseph's brothers and his father would bow down to him and see him as an authority figure. Okay, so he would be up in a higher place than them, and they would come and bow down to them. So, and then he decided to tell his brothers this. And I've heard a lot of people say, you know, oh, Joseph, why did you do that? Why would you tell people that? But I can kind of understand. He's probably really excited and didn't know who else to tell. But anyway, so he did tell them, and they didn't appreciate it very much, and they hated him even more. So his brothers got together and conspired, and they decided they're going to sell him into slavery. So poor Joseph goes out with them one day, and they sell him into slavery. And he eventually becomes a slave of Potiphar, and Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh, and he becomes a slave in his household. While he was there, he gets accused of a crime which he didn't do, and he gets thrown into prison. And while he's in prison, he still, though, upholds God. He still, it talks about how God was really on him. He interpreted the dreams of inmates there. He found favor with some of the guards as well, and he sort of became an unofficial guard among the inmates as well. He sort of rose up in an authority over them, not the guards, sorry, the cellmates that he had there. So he got an esteemed role within a prison, which, you know, still isn't really that esteemed because he's in prison. But eventually, Pharaoh heard about his ability to do dream interpretation. And Pharaoh had a couple of dreams which he could not interpret. He didn't understand, and a lot of people tried, and they failed. So he found out about Joseph and had Joseph sent to him. Joseph did the correct interpretation. I'm not going to go into all that right now because it's not important. Again, read the Bible. And once it was interpreted, Pharaoh was so impressed with him that he gave him his signet ring and made him second in command, second only to Pharaoh himself. So he went from being really low, low, low prisoner in slavery all the way up to second in command under Pharaoh. And wouldn't you know, his brothers and his father actually the whole nation, wasn't just them, bow down to him as an authority figure. So God's promises came to pass. But oh, what a journey. What are we going to take from this story? Sometimes it's hard, very hard, while you're waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled. And lots of times you see the opposite thing happen first. So you have, yeah. I noticed everybody nodded on that one. Oh, yes. Yeah. That's what happens. It happens a lot. You know, Joseph started off sort of, let's say, here, he's in the middle. Like, he's just working, he's with his family. He drops down quite low. And this is after God has promised to raise him up in authority. And then he jumps up really high right after that. You know, that's quite a journey to take. We have to really trust God in those times when we're way down low and things don't seem to be working out, we have to trust him that what he said is true. We have to believe what he said. And it's really easy not to, because your circumstances. Do not let your present circumstances dictate your belief in God. That's a silly thing to do. If you're going to believe in God, no matter what's happening around you. And only through that, I think, can you really start to pull yourself up. You know, it's really showing that you have to keep your trust in him as well. People, you know, often will go, "Oh, why is this happening though? Like, God promised me this, and why am I going through hard times?" I don't know. You know, it's a fallen world. We all go through hard times, and it's going to, you know, it happens, and we just keep praying, and we know that eventually we are going to go out on top, and we always do. It may not be the top that we were originally expecting, but it's on top. But you have to really believe in God. I'm just so amazed that he became second in command to Pharaoh. Like, that's quite amazing. Like, when God says he's going to promise, boy, he gave him a really good promise. Imagine if the queen came up to you, made you second in command all of a sudden, Natasha. All right. I want to tell you a little bit about my story. It has to do with my daughter, Eliza Love. You've all seen her. She was the one that was running up the front earlier today. Yeah, screaming at the back. That would be her too. Yeah. She is my precious, precious joy, and I'm so happy to have her. When Mike and I first got married, we were enjoying our time just being a married couple, and I think it was about a year after we decided to start having kids. So we thought we would try to have a baby. And we started trying, and I didn't get pregnant. And many months went by, and I still wasn't pregnant. And I was really expecting to get pregnant quickly, because I knew that God had promised me that I would be a mother. So I just assumed that, okay, once I try, then I will be a mother. It didn't quite work out that way. And I started to get really upset and frustrated, and I was confused and I didn't understand. And if there's anybody that sort of knows that longing to have a child, for me it felt like that was my job on this earth, was to be a mom. So if I didn't get pregnant, I feel like I wasn't fulfilling my duty as a wife and as a woman. Whether that was just the way I felt. That's the way I felt at the time. And so I started to really cry out to God and pray to him. You know, I want to have a child. Can you, you know, make me pregnant? Like, help me get pregnant, God. And it was too much to bear on my own. So I called up my family members. I had my parents, my brother, my sister, another close family friend who would pray for me every single day. And, of course, me and Mike were praying together as well. So we enlisted some help. Many more months went by. And, of course, I still wasn't pregnant. But God did start to answer some prayers. He started to speak to me like he does many, many, many times in dreams. That's the number one way me and God seem to communicate, is my dream life. And I'm going to tell you a few of the dreams that I've had. One of the dreams actually had to do with a baby elephant. And I can't tell you why, but I knew that baby elephant was Eliza. I still haven't pieced together the symbolism there. I don't know, Eliza, elephant, sounds the same. I don't know. But I knew that that was about her. And this little baby elephant in my dream was coming in and pushing on my back. And when I woke up, I could still feel that elephant pushing on my back. Like, it was such a vivid dream. I then had a dream that I was standing in just a vacant place. And I was there by myself, and my sister-in-law walks up to me, and she says to me, "I'm going to have a baby." And in my dream, I was like, great. You know, I was really, really happy for her, but it hurt. Because I was like, but I want to have a baby. But in my dream, I got the knowledge that 3 months later, I would have a baby. And that was the whole dream. That's it. So I really didn't take long to interpret that one. I got it. My dad then calls me up one day and he gives me a vision. He gave me a vision of a plant. And on the plant, 3 shoots came up. One shoot came up really slowly, the second went up really, really fast, and the third one sort of at a steady pace. That we also interpreted to mean our first child takes a little while, second child, whoop, comes right away, which it really did. We were really surprised. It was very, very happy day, but wow, we were like, we were thinking, oh, you know, maybe in 6 months, and no, now, which is great. And then the third one is steady, so you have to wait a little longer for that one to be fulfilled, but it will be, because I know I'm going to have another one too. That was his vision for me, so he called me up with that. Then we had my really close family friend, her name is Anna. She called me up one day and said, I had a dream about you. She's an intercessor and she prays for me all the time. And she said that in the dream you were walking and you were laughing, like just a really joyous laughter. And when she asked me why I was laughing, I said, I'm going to have a baby. And then I came over to her and I handed her this little baby all wrapped up, and I had black hair all on the top of her head, like thick black hair. So those were the three ways that God encouraged me throughout this whole process of prayer, that yes, it was still to come. Oh, I even had dreams about genealogies. Like, I would dream that I was reading the Bible and verses would pop out. And then I'd look up the verse when I woke up, and there were, like, the genealogy at the beginning of Matthew, and there's one at the end of Ruth, I think, and all these different ones. I thought, wow, that's also showing me, you know, fruitfulness in the actual human reproduction sense of being fruitful. So at times, those encouragements, however, actually hurt a little bit. Because I was like, well, here God keeps telling me that the promise will be fulfilled, but it's not yet happened. So it actually pulled a little bit. And I was like, ouch. I remember there's one time, and I don't encourage that you do this, but I did say, God, please stop. Please stop reminding me that it will happen, because it hurts too bad. He didn't stop, thank goodness. But I wanted him to. But then eventually, you know, my dreams just kept getting more vivid and more vivid and more vivid. And with actually both pregnancies, just before I found out I was pregnant, I had two dreams where I felt a baby kick inside me. And then I woke up and lo and behold, I was pregnant. So it took 2 years about for me to get pregnant. And for some that may not seem very long, for me it felt forever. It really did. It hurt so bad to wait that long, but I have to tell you, when it happened, I was not angry with God for the delay, because it was a delay only in my eyes. For him, it was perfect timing. His promise was fulfilled at the right day, at the right time, as Jay and Vero know. They had their baby same day, right? That's got to mean something. I got to tell you that my dreams before were also answered. They were shown to be true. My sister-in-law had a baby. My dream, it said 3 months, but in reality it was 4 months to the day. To the day we have children apart. And it happened in the same way. She called me up and said she was pregnant, and I was very, very happy for her and very sad for me. But then, you know, 4 months after, you know, after, found out I was pregnant, had her babies. He was December 7th and Eliza was April 7th. Like, that's a miracle to me. As I say with my dad's vision, Eliza came up slowly, Leah came really, really fast. The woman that had the dream about Eliza and me showing her to her, she comes over and she sees Eliza for the first time. She says, that's the baby in my dream. That's her. And of course, Eliza came out with big, thick black hair on top of her head. She said, that's it. That's his fulfillment. And there was something about just the birth of Eliza. It just felt, you know, she is my living promise. It's not something intangible that God has given me. It's something tangible that I can touch and hold and feel. And she is my living promise. So it was very, very encouraging. You know, and all that time too, that I can look back and I realize that I was actually blessed to have that time without my children. And this is why, because I got to be a wife. I got to spend time and do things with Mike that we can't do now that we have children. We got to know each other a lot better. We figured out how to live with each other in a very, very good way. And we're still actually working on that, because it's different living as parents as it was when you're single. But we got to go on trips that we would have never been able to take with a diaper bag and a stroller now. And we got to just be in love for the first, I guess, 3 years. And I have to tell you, you know, the day I found out I was pregnant, it was our anniversary. It was so wonderful. I woke up, I think, at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I said, God, I'm not taking another pregnancy test unless you wake me up. So I get God to wake me up from naps. You just have to say, God, can you wake me up in half an hour? And then you hear, like, your name, Lorraine, wake up. And then you get up. And so it really is handy. It's better than an alarm clock because I don't like the beeping. So I said, you know, I was taking pregnancy tests all the time, all the time. I don't know how much money I spent on it. And I said, I'm not taking another one unless I really hear from you. So I'm lying in bed, 4 o'clock in the morning, our anniversary, August 16th. And I hear, Carrie. And I wake up and I'm like, yes! And I go without Mike. He's still sleeping. I take the test and, of course, it's positive. I give myself a couple of minutes alone because I just needed to regroup myself. And then I go tell Mike. And then I proceed to call my whole family, who were very happy to hear from me. Actually, my parents were. They were on a trip, and they just happened to have their cell phone on. There's a lot of screaming, a lot of crying. I called. My brother sounded a little confused, but he got it after a few minutes. I think I waited. I waited till 5. I didn't want to be too soon. You know, I didn't want to bother them too early in the morning. But, you know, they had such joy for me, and they got to partake in my promise as well. So for me, what I really want to show you is when God has a promise from you, keep holding on and don't give up, despite what your present circumstances are telling you. My mind was saying, you are not pregnant, and I knew that. But I knew that I was to be pregnant, and I was to have children. So I held on to that, and I kept praying. I prayed every single day, multiple times. Sometimes very short prayers, sometimes big, long, long sessions. I prayed. Look for the encouragement. Again, just like, you know, the rainbow in the sky is our encouragement. Look for the encouragement in dreams, in visions, in words. I had many prophecies of people saying, I see you birthing something new. I'm like, I know. We weren't telling people I was pregnant at that time, but they all saw me birthing something. You know, look for those words. Find support. I had a great support in that I had my family behind me and I had Mike behind me. It was so good that I got to go through that with Mike. I had someone right by my side. Find people who love you and who want to help and get that support. I have a feeling that there's people here that have been waiting for a long time for promises and your heart feels like it's kind of breaking. And there's some too that I've experienced this where you actually feel that longing in your chest, you know, it's almost like a physical feeling. I sometimes get that feeling where I feel like my heart's actually going to come out. And there's something that God promised you, and you have that longing that your heart's just going to pull right out, and you can hardly take it anymore. You need lots of prayer. You need lots of support, but you need to know that when God says something, He is only able to speak true things. He's only able to speak truth, so He cannot lie. So if He said it, He will do it. But don't block Him. We can do that sometimes, I think. If we decide to say, God, we don't trust you, and we're just going to give up on promise because either it hurts too much or you just are tired of waiting, you can actually stop that promise from getting to you. So it's not Him that's holding it up or like that's causing it not to happen. It's actually you. So you have to be open. You have to sort of, I heard someone say before, remind God of the things that He has promised you. It's not that He needs the reminder. He never forgets. But He wants to know that you still remember and that you're still holding on in faith. So don't block Him. Don't block Him. There's some of you here today, I think, that really need to recommit to your promise. And you need to open up again and sort of let God in so He can bring fulfillment to what He said He wants to give you. It may be in healing. It may be a job. It may be some sort of, you know, a house, a car. It could be something really tangible like that. It could be a spiritual gifting that you're waiting for. You have to be open to them. What I wanted to do is instead of doing something like an altar call where you come up here, we pray one-on-one, in just a minute I'm going to ask you to get into groups. And about 3 or 4. And I want you, if you don't know very many people, you don't know anybody very well, then just, you know, find someone close by you. But if you have like a close group of friends or something within this community here, I want you to gather with them because I want them to become witness of your promises. And what we're going to do is I want you to take only about 30 seconds in total for all 4 of you to state what God is promising, meaning We don't want to hear the backstory. You can tell that later. I want to spend more time in prayer rather than the backstory. So say, God has promised me, and then really short, a car. God has promised me a healing. We don't need to hear, God promised me healing because when I was 5, I fell and my dog said, and you know, we want to hear it. It's not that, but we don't want to hear it right now. Okay? Yeah, you're all smiling at me now, but you're thinking, shoot, I wanted it. It was a good story. Okay, so just really, really quickly. So 30 seconds total of you. State what God is promising. And then I want you to pray. I want you to pray that God's promises will become fulfilled. I want you to bring encouragement to one another. If you have a word, speak it out. If you have a vision, speak that out. If you know someone that went through the same thing and you just have like a testimony in that time frame, speak that out. And what's going to happen is, as the weeks go by, you're going to know that you have at least 3 other people that have prayed with you for this promise. And then when it becomes fulfilled, it becomes a testimony not only for yourself, but to the 3 other people as well. So eventually, we're going to be all just so encouraged and built up by all the promises that God is going to be fulfilling. And I really have the strong feeling that He does want to bring fulfillment to these. And some of them are going to be quick. Some even by next week. Yeah, I'm going to say that. Some by next week. Some are going to be fulfilled by next week. So we want to hear then next week when you come, if that's happened to you, go and tell the people that prayed with you. Bring encouragement. We got to build each other up. So break into groups of 3 or 4 right now. I'll pray sort of a general prayer, and then I want you to take time to pray with each other. Remember, quick statements, more prayer. So, Father, I pray as these people get together that you would really start to release promises in Jesus' name, that you would start to bring fulfillment of the words that you have spoken over everyone, that you would bring words of encouragement, words of wisdom to come to this place in Jesus' name, and that they would have a testimony to preach next week.